Next month will be critical for the Democratic candidates seeking their party's 2004 presidential nomination. The January 19th Iowa caucuses and the January 27th New Hampshire presidential primary are the earliest indicators of who the nominee is likely to be. Howard Dean is considered a strong contender. Commentator Matt Miller wonders whether Dean has the right temperament to run in the general election.
My wife has a foolproof test for assessing a politician's true nature. Try this at home. Turn off the volume on the TV when the politician in question is speaking and look at his or her face for a few minutes. It's an unerring test of whether at bottom he's a happy warrior or not, whether he's someone who naturally conveys that life-affirming sense of optimism, zest, and even joy amidst political combat, a quality that for most of us is supremely attractive in a leader, or whether instead he's someone who seems more like an angry sourpuss. Now, I much prefer happy warriors. History suggests, however, that it's not a prerequisite for going all the way, but it sure helps. FDR, JFK, and Ronald Reagan were happy warriors. Richard Nixon was not. Bill Clinton was a happy warrior. Al Gore was not. George Bush looks like a pretty happy warrior. I thought about this while seated in the audience watching Howard Dean give a speech recently in Los Angeles. The subject was foreign policy. Much of what Dean said was plausible and reassuring. He made a thoughtful case for multilateralism as an alternative to President Bush's macho, my way or the highway approach. But Dean's tone and demeanor left a stronger impression than any positions he took. Much has been made of the Dean anger. But what Dean's hostile tone displaces is what matters more. You can't be angry and be a happy warrior. And this tone ends up coloring everything Dean says. Consider this little riff from Dean's speech. Quote, "Fighting poverty and disease and bringing opportunity and hope is the right thing to do. It is also absolutely the smart thing to do if we want children around the world to grow up admiring entrepreneurs, educators, and artists, rather than growing up with pictures of terrorists tacked to their walls." End quote. When Bill Clinton makes a point like this, he says it with a lilt in his voice, beckoning us to share his vision of where we can go together if we lift our sights and muster the will. When Dean barked it out, it felt small and shabby, as if he were lecturing us on simple facts we ought to have known. Views that should be uplifting end up sounding shrill or nagging. It's not too late for Dr. Dean to get a tone transplant, but the first step is for the doctor to admit that he has a problem. Dean's campaign reportedly has shown his speeches to focus groups and found that folks don't mind the anger. Why do I think they're talking only with Democratic primary voters, not the independents who decide general elections?
The comments of Matt Miller, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and the author of The 2% Solution, Fixing America's Problems in Ways Liberals and Conservatives Can Love.